Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, we were very funny then. Laugh, pretend we're...
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Hi, podsters. Welcome to Older and Wider, the fun podcast. This is the equivalent of a group hug, big laugh, sharing, caring. What have we got today, Judith? What have we got lined up on the podcast?
We've got Catherine Flett coming in as a guest. Yeah, yep. The wonderful Catherine Flett.
Yep.
We've got a lot of nattering and wittering between you and I.
Oh, you and me.
Yeah.
It's quality broadcasting.
Quality broadcast, you think?
Well, it's quality broadcasting on the cheap.
Well, a bit like a natter over the garden wall, I think is how you put it, wasn't it?
Yeah, we have to do this. We have to have our own podcast because we don't share a garden wall.
Au contraire.
Whatever.
Au contraire.
What do you mean by
that?
Well,
because you live in a very, very different place to me.
My garden wall is very high.
Yeah, well.
We'd never be able to natter over it.
Of course it is.
You'd have to. It's got barbed wire on the top as well. Can you imagine having a natter over my garden fence?
Yeah, well, we have to do this instead. Instead of having a natter over the garden wall, you and I can have a kind of a bit of a, you know, bit of a
podcast. This is the podcast is the equivalent of a natter over the garden fence.
That's right.
Because we can't get...
Because we can't.
We can't.
Exactly.
Because we'd need ladders. And at our age, ladders.
Very bad idea.
Ladders are a no-no.
Yes. So this is a bit of a share about getting older, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you can join in. We'll get a website sorted out. And you can tweet and Twitter. And you write us a letter if you want. I wouldn't bother. Good morning. It could be any time of day. It's a podcast, you see.
It could be half asleep. Probably 2 a.m. for
could
them.
Could be anything. That's the joy of the podcast.
It is, isn't it?
Pop it on any time. Wake yourself up. Annoy yourself. Put it on by accident. Well, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Lean on your phone by accident. Guess who? It's us. Ha ha! Anyway, this is Dulcet Tones, Jenny Eclair, and who are you?
I think I'm your friend.
Oh, yeah. I've described you as that in the past.
You have?
My friend Judith Holder.
Thank you.
How are you today?
Glad I'm still your friend.
Yeah, I haven't got many. Got to cling on to the ones I've got.
Yeah, you have. Oh, how am I today? I'm okay. Yes, I'm very well,
what
actually.
What are you wearing?
Well, luckily I'm not wearing the same shoes as you, because I've got to admit that I am a bit of a copycat. I think I've always really done a bit of copycatting of women.
Were you always
wearing
those girls at school?
I was. Oh. And actually, borrowing clothes of people that I liked.
Is this because you're an only child?
Yeah, and needy, and not very self-confident, and yes, all of those
trying
things.
Trying on other personas.
Yes, okay, all right. Can you not just be damning me all the way through this, please? But yes.
So how many items of my clothing have you stolen?
These shoes. Yeah. I've absolutely stolen those shoes. They're kind of, they're leopard skinny, very statement
shoes.
They're
an ocelot. They're an ocelot.
What does that mean?
Booty. It's a type of animal. It's an ocelot.
It? I thought they were synthetic. It's not a real animal.
No, of course
ridiculous.
It isn't. None of us wear real.
No.
Apart from my own skin, which is 100% real.
Yeah, well, we can see that.
Guarantee it's flaking all over the place.
Yes, I've stolen those.
Yes, the ocelot booty. Yes, you stole those. Yes. And also, I had a really good map scarf.
Yeah, you
on.
Did, I know, and I bought that too.
Yes,
I do it without thinking, you know. I do it, and then I come back and I think, do you know, Jenny's got one just the same as that. It's kind of subliminal.
And then I see you in it, I think, oh, here comes the copycat. Judith, you've just returned from a holiday.
A holiday, absolutely. A very, very cheap holiday, actually.
Really? Cheap and nasty or cheap and cheerful?
Bit of a mixture.
Okay.
If I'm
Did
honest.
You cry?
Bit of a mixture. I didn't cry when I got there. No, I know what you mean. I have done that in the past. And I didn't even move rooms. That's quite impressive for me, because I'm often a 2 or 3 times mover.
Tripler.
Yeah, you know, much to Mike's disgust. So, no, it stayed in the room. That's positive. But it was, yeah, it was an easy jet sort of deal, you know, where you get the flight and you get the hotel. So already there's some warning signs there, aren't there? One of the Canary Islands, which I think is called La Palma. I didn't really commit.
Doesn't really matter which one,
no,
does
it?
It's
one of those. And it's got its own airport kind of thing, but it's not Tenerife, not quite that naff. Quite a lot of Germans in the hotel.
I don't mind Tenerife.
Well, it depends which bit you go to.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you probably go to the posh bit.
Oh, I like a bit of riffraff.
Oh, I've been to some... Listen, I've been to hotels where the sun loungers have been chained up until 8 o'clock.
Yeah, got to do that.
Chained up.
I like a chain around a sun lounger. Right, so this one, yes. Was it all-inclusive?
Thank God we were on half board. I mean, a lot of people were there on-inclusive, obviously, with the, you know... things around
the wristband.
And the trouble is, you know, because you've seen them at breakfast piling up for, you know, and then pizzas for lunch and then down at the buffet. That would be a disaster for me. I mean, it was already pretty much a disaster. But at least then, you know, you can kind of load up for breakfast,
yes.
Can't you?
What was your best breakfast?
Oh, well, it took me about 3 or 4 days to discover the porridge. Porridge? Oh, very nice.
On a hot holiday?
Yeah, I know, but, you know, very nice.
The Canaries are in Africa, aren't they? It's not exactly an African starter.
I said it was a cheap holiday. We're talking cheap cooked breakfast, OK?
Oh, it's so
porridge.
Simple.
No, but I think the reason it was so nice is that it's probably got a lot of sugar in it and a lot of currants and a lot of nutmeg in the top. So that was quite good. Big bowl of that. And then...
Slow release energy.
Well, kind of, yeah.
Peckish by 11, you. Yeah.
Even me, tided me over until about 5 or 6. Mind you, I was recently in a hotel that was so bad that you were taking things into breakfast. That's the first. That is bad. But you've never been to anything like
that. I've been on tour. I've toured all my life. I've done every breakfast every which way. I mean, genuinely. I mean, the thing is, you can't really go wrong with a hard-boiled egg. I always go for the hard-boiled egg. That's what
true,
I like.
True.
And I like a little pat of cream cheese, and then I smash my egg and the cream cheese on a piece of toast. And that's me done.
You're quite low maintenance on the hotel
no trouble
buffet,
at all.
Aren't you? I'm very high maintenance. I'm like a gorilla. I have to have a lot of fruit. You know, I have to have bananas and I have to have oranges and roughage and porridge. You know those things.
Yes,
that you
but
see
what
about
you're trying
gorillas.
To do, you see, what I don't do, what. You do, and I think this is an unwise thing. This is where your buffet manners get out of hand.
Going
because
you
you're
again.
Trying
Go
to
on.
Stock up so you don't stop for lunch.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, precisely.
Well, you see, I can't bear the idea of missing a meal. Really, genuinely can't. It doesn't matter how full I am.
Really?
I have to, yes, 3 meals a day. But otherwise, you know, what if I got run over mid-afternoon and I'd miss my lunch?
I know where you're coming from. But that's because... You know, if you have to pay for it extra, it's something to do in my head with the fact that you don't have to therefore buy lunch.
Okay.
Do you know
okay.
what I mean? So you kind of load
up.
That
means buy your buffet. Is it a buffet supper as
buffet
well?
Buffet supper. Oh, yeah. Scrum.
By
Scrum.
7 o'clock, you're hysterical with hunger.
Oh, by 7 o'clock? By about 5 o'clock? Doors open at 6:30. And sometimes I was one of the first in the queue, I've got to tell you.
I don't like eating till about 8:30 of an evening.
Well,
no.
You're very, 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 very much more
I'm very
civilized.
Sophisticated.
You are. You are much
I live in London.
Than me.
You live in the country.
Well, that doesn't make you any better, any posher, necessarily.
Makes me
but,
later.
Makes me later.
Well, I had a little holiday as well. At the risk of sounding like that's what we do with our lives, just go on holiday. But mine was a lucky holiday, and I went to Marrakesh for a week for a painting holiday because I'm keeping up my painting.
Lovely.
And I posted something on my social media yesterday that I'd painted at my other art class, which I do in Dulwich Village. We were doing noses yesterday, and you commented on my nose. You made a cheeky comment, didn't you?
I did make a cheeky comment because it was. Well, it was very phallic.
Well, I know. My nose, weirdly... I mean, anybody can check this out on my Twitter feed. Mm. But what I was pleased at was the prominence of the nose. It came off the paper because a lot of my artwork
my
in the past...
My point entirely, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of my artwork in the past has been very flat, very one-dimensional. Nothing
right.
comes out at you because I've never understood shading and background, foreground. Anyway, I did this nose... It looked like a cock, didn't it?
It really did. And it was, because it was kind of, it didn't have the context of your other bits of your face.
No, it was just nose. It was just a proboscis.
A proboscis, that's a good word.
A protruding thing that looked like more penis-like than anything else I've seen for years.
Absolutely. It was rather troubling. And incidentally, at the hotel where I was staying, there was a big nudist section. I forgot to say, because that's why I commented it on your Twitter.
Because
I'd seen a lot of peni. I don't know, is that plural? I've no idea.
Yeah.
Many, many more than I've kind of seen, probably ever.
Did you put your glasses on or did you take your glasses off?
I tell you what shocked me is how many men are waxing.
Oh, I can't
believe it. Why do they do that?
It's what's it called? It's vanity, isn't it? It's what they all do. As soon as one person starts doing it, they all join on. I can't really. If Jeff started, he's 70. He's never going to.
Can you imagine
the shaving cuts? He'd be covered in little bits of toilet paper. I mean, he is as hairy as a Shetland pony. I mean, he wouldn't do my lady shave razor.
Is it on his back?
There's a smattering, not too much. I mean, he's not an ape. But there is a Shetland pony quality to him, and it's quite grey and coarse.
So, does he need brushing?
He needs needs saddle soap, brushing, and I shine him up, and then I feed him apples because he's my good pony. And then he gets on the floor on his hands and knees, and I get on his back.
Jenny, stop!
He gives me
a ride around
the sitting room. That's what we do. That's what we do instead of sex. Look, it's better. Did you judge yourself against the naked ladies of your nudie colony?
Well, I'm a bit worried about this, but I was much more transfixed by the men. I honestly, you know that thing where you try not to look, but actually you are looking? You know
what
that thing?
What were you interested in? In different sizes and shapes?
Different sizes and shapes and...
Did you draw any of them? And did any of them look like my nose?
I think most of them look like your nose. And now I can see your nose. I mean, you've got a lovely nose, actually.
No, but in certain lights, it's cock.
Is it? Yeah.
All noses are. I've realised this, that noses are sort of the penis of the face.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, the lips are the vagina of the face.
Oh, my God.
We're all just sex organs.
I know, like chimpanzees or something.
I don't know what our eyes are doing there. I don't see why they use an ornament sexually, really.
That's a horrible revelation that you've just given me.
I'm really sorry. Every time
I look at someone's face, I'm going to think that.
But when all the naked ladies and gentlemen were parading past, were you saying to Mike, your husband, were you saying
he wasn't there, I was on my own.
Really?
Gawping. No, he wasn't interested at all.
Really?
No, he wasn't interested. I was kind of...
Were you
spying
through a hole in a wall? Were they on the other side of the wall?
No, there was a section. Okay. And it was obviously all German. There was no English there except me, you know. And I was very
Did you join in?
The part. Well, you have to, don't you? Yeah. You can't actually go in there without that.
So you went in. You weren't just spying from the other side of the wall.
I went in. I'm not a pervert, Jenny.
Okay.
So, no, I went in. I know. And yes, it became a bit of a ritual every day, really.
So, now... You have just had a little holiday away with a free buffet. Now, this bothers me because we know what is coming up in just over a month. You have the role of your life, one of the roles of your life. You've got the
far too many roles around my stomach, I feel.
For the mother of the bride role.
Dress.
Okay, so before you went on holiday, did you try the dress?
I did, and it was a great deal tighter than it had been before. And I said to me, yeah, I know. You're feeling the panic.
So you're trying on a dress before you go on a holiday where you know there's a free buffet and it's already tight.
Yeah.
So can you get the zip up?
I can get the zip up, but it is, you know, we're talking Fergie at the Eugenie's wedding kind of scenario. Yeah. Slightly worse, probably. So I got the diary out and worked out how much I've got to lose, factored in Christmas, because obviously, you know, I'm going to put a bit of weight on over Christmas.
Stone and a half.
I haven't factored in that
Stone
much.
And a half over Christmas.
Well, I factored in £4. That's a very, very, very lean Christmas for me.
It's a miserable Christmas.
I mean, that's a Christmas day, actually.
You're going to have one day off.
One day off is it all we're allowed. As you know.
I don't know why you say we. You sort of
and the family.
As if you're counting Mike in when he's...
We know. He's going to have to take any sort of cheese or anything into the car.
Thin, lean and lovely.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jack Sprat.
Yeah. So I've done that. I've done my sums and I've got to lose, basically 3.5, £4 a week between now and the wedding.
Not possible.
Well, it is possible.
You're a postmenopausal woman. It doesn't go that. It doesn't melt. What are you going to do? Are you sticking your fingers down your throat? Yeah?
Not quite. Well, see, what I did is on holiday while I was on the Sun Lounger, along with a lot of other lists that I was writing about my life,
yeah.
I just made a decision, and this is what happens when I'm on holiday. I make a decision, and then, of course, I never...
Are you still making lists on holiday?
Yes, I am. Anyway, listen. So on the top of a page, I said, 2 days fasting a week and the rest of the time slimming world. That is my method. That is my approach to this horrendous dilemma, which is totally self-inflicted.
Do you know what? I've had to take, during this podcast, during that last
speech... You started to rock.
I had started to rock. I've had to take my glasses off. I have clasped my hands over my eyes and I am rocking backwards and forwards.
It's not helping.
Do you know what we're doing?
What?
We're ripping up that list. We're ripping it up. We're going to Selfridges after the podcast. We're buying you a new big girl's dress. Big girl's dress.
You said that with some spite.
What's that shop that used to do big girls? Long tall Sally.
Is it Birkitex?
No, Birkitex has gone to the wall. God, isn't it awful?
Oh, has it?
Isn't it depressing going back to this country? I mean, you get away from it.
Oh, I know.
Oh, dear. Anyway, Mother of the Bride. What are the other...
Dilemmas.
Yeah.
Several dilemmas, and then I've got to do my speech because I've been allowed a speech.
Okay. Have you crafted it yet?
Well, the problem is, you see, that I've been given a slot in the ceremony, not after, you know, not like Mike's getting the proper speech.
So ceremony's more important.
Oh, so part of the actual thing. You know, what am I going to say?
Well, nothing horrible.
No, of course not. But. Mother of the Groom has got a poem that she's been given to...
She's been given. They don't trust her. Do a limerick. There was a young lady from Diddy. Diddly diddly diddy. Diddly diddy diddly diddy diddly diddly diddy.
Yeah, well, I did think maybe I should write a poem, but I've never written a poem in my life.
Don't stop copycatting. She's got the poem.
Okay, you're right. We've
discussed this. Who's it by?
It's by Philip Pullman. It's about love. And it's absolutely extraordinary. I could Google it and read it to you. It's amazing. It's so good.
Really?
So, you know, the bar's quite high, but...
Christ.
So what she said is, write the ten important things in a good marriage. I thought, wow.
Don't say blowjobs in church. Can't. You're not allowed.
So it's going to be
is it in a church?
No, it's not. It's not.
You should say blowjobs then.
But it's going to be...
That can be 3, 4,
don't
5.
Don't be ridiculous, Jenny. But what, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult to kind of do that because I don't want to be too serious. But if I'm funny, I might not be... Anyway.
And also, what if you're truthful?
Well, even worse. Even bloody
Judith,
worse.
We're going to have to leave that with bated breath. Because it's time for us to have... We have guests.
We do, don't we?
So everyone's knocking on our door. Can you hear? Let me in. I want to be a guest on your podcast.
Wait.
Can I be a guest too? And me? They're lining up outside.
Of course they are.
Who have we got today?
We've got Catherine Flett.
You've known her for years. I've known her for some time too.
She was on the Grumpy Old Women and she's all well and wonderful.
I originally... discovered Catherine Flett when she wrote the most phenomenal book about having a nervous breakdown and the disintegration of a marriage called the Heart-Shaped Bullet, which had been serialised in one of the Nationals and it became quite a big seller. And then at the moment she's a food critic. Well, I think we can chat to her about food. Let's talk food. With Catherine,
I'd like
to be a food
critic. Well, they make me hungry. That's the trouble.
Starving. You've just snuffed your banana.
Yeah, that's all I'm allowed.
Oh, yeah, you've done the points for today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do you recognise it? Do you recognise this tune? Catherine Flett is our new guest. Catherine, this is our theme tune. Do you like it?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you were swaying away then, weren't you? Oh, triple clicking.
I think it's a bit postman pat myself, but you know.
I don't mind that. I'm very childish. Catherine Flett, it's very, very nice indeed to see you. Judith and I have known you sort of on and off for a long time. Judith's given you work.
Yes, she has.
A long time ago.
For which I'm eternally grateful.
Oh, come on. You were brilliant on Grumpy Old Women.
We were all brilliant on Grumpy Old Women.
Yeah, yes,
everyone was brilliant.
Yeah, well, how fantastic we all were. You, at the time, were a journalist, stroke novelist, stroke... were you an editor of magazines?
I did, yes, I did edit magazines back in the day. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, I quit when I was ahead. I won an award and I bailed out because I thought, well, it's not going to get any better than this.
What was the award?
It was International Magazine of the Year.
There you go.
Wow, that's pretty good.
What was the magazine?
It was called Arena. It was a men's magazine.
Ah. Sexy.
Some of it was stylish. Sexy and stylish. Mm. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And you were the editor?
I was the editor.
It's a bit like being the queen, isn't it?
Yeah, I was, you know, it took me about... I had a great time doing it, but it took
me
about...
Did you choose models?
Some of that did go on. Yeah. Castings in the office, that kind of thing. Terrible, terrible. But I did realise I hadn't worn a dress for 4 years and it was probably time to get in touch with my feminine side, so I did decide to leave.
Had you become sort of very power dressing and sort of marching about, kicking ass?
Because I was the boss of blokes and I'm still relatively young, you know, my late.
Were you heavy drinking? Were you drinking whiskey in the afternoon?
There was quite a lot of sort of.
Smoking cigars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of hanging out with the chaps and then going home and crying because I was single and couldn't get a date. I did have a great time.
Yeah, it was fantastic. All that crying on the tube home. Great. But now, I mean, journalism has been a very big part of your life. Yeah. Writing has been a very big part of your life. Walk us through the success of The Heart-Shaped Bullet.
Oh, goodness me. So that is nearly 20 years old.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Still a success.
Yeah, well, it's... Well, it, yes, it was and it wasn't. It was a poison chalice. Yeah. For those who don't know, which will be 99.9% recurring.
No, it's only old people listen to this.
Oh,
remember.
Well, fine, in which case 76.9%. So I had at that point a newspaper column in The Observer where I worked for many years. And while I was in the middle of writing a cheery column that was meant to be a sort of riff on the lovely late Tara Palmer Tomkinson's column in the Sunday Times magazine about
you're
going
not
out
a socialite,
and having a,
though.
No, so I did the kind of I'm very dull and newly married and I stay in and watch telly column. That was meant to sort of gently take the mickey out of that whole thing. And then, and very sort of smug married, newly smug married.
Ghastly.
And then one day my husband said, I'm off. And we'd only been married about 5 minutes, so I was slightly thrown by that.
Judith's daughter's getting married soon.
Lovely. Should we change the subject?
No, it wasn't 5 minutes. Literally, it wasn't 5 minutes.
It wasn't terribly long. It was
5 months.
17 months by the time he went from wedded bliss to departure.
And had you any inkling?
I had no inkling, like an idiot.
Had you had children by this point?
No, okay. We hadn't. We were going to have 2 or 3 years of sort of bedding in, as it were. He took that...
Literally.
Quite literally to another extreme. Anyway, so this is old ground. But I ended up writing a column about the fact that I was suddenly single.
And did you have a nervous breakdown?
I had a bit of a breakdown, yes.
What my mother would call a teeny nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I had a couple of weeks in the Priory.
Oh,
know.
God, that's proper.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be very interested about that.
Would you? What's well, you
like?
Could read my book. It's apparently available for upwards of one penny on Amazon.
I read it in the bath
I
once.
Did. I remember I read it, reading but I don't remember the Priory bit.
I don't think I name checked it.
No, you probably did. Well, yeah, I probably could have worked that out, actually. But yeah.
Because you really lived a proper 80s lifestyle then.
Well, that was 90s, but yes, even before that, I did lead quite an 80s, because I worked at the Face magazine and ID magazine, and it was all, you know, not the kind of working life where you couldn't tell where the working day ended and the fun began. I loved that.
Oh, I'd find that all rather
tiring. You've had that.
I've had it to a certain point, but I act it out. I don't do it in real life. I can't. I'm very tired and very bored, and I have to go home and get under the duvet quite a lot of the time. But when did you do all those clubs? Did you go to the mud club and all those sorts of things? Did you have to dress up and wear wimples and stuff?
that was slightly earlier. That was the kind of new romantic phase, a sort of, you know.
You were there.
Yeah, some of that. Tail end of that, but also the mud club and a lot of taboo, sort of the Lee Bowery club in the 80s, and there was certainly a lot of wearing silly clothes, you know. I did spend the 80s
wearing a tunic now.
I'm wearing a sensible tunic.
You come down to our level. Is there any Marks and Spencers on you?
It's not a case of coming down.
It is a bit.
Of course there's Marks and Spencers on me.
There you go. You go from wearing a wimple at the mud club.
I didn't even know what the mud club was.
Rubber
knickers. I didn't wear a wimple.
Did you wear rubber knickers?
No, rubber and me didn't get on. All that talcum powder.
Well, we're on to undercarriages, aren't we? In one swift move, we could be.
This is only because Jenny wants to promote her product.
It is, isn't it? Any excuse that we're on to the undercarriage.
You know what? I'm very proud to be not only the face and the voice and the front bottom. You never see that in the advert of Vagisan. I had a letter. There's no such thing as letters anymore, is there? Had an email. It was on Twitter. Okay, a bloke said, my wife is much happier. Thank you very much.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's jolly
isn't
nice.
Isn't it? Poor cow. Now having to have sex with him because the bottom is working.
Did he go and buy it for her, though? I'm slightly
worried. Probably. Might have anointed it himself.
Oh, stop.
Step away.
Really,
Jenny? Because she might have been using it as an excuse for years. She's going, I'm really sorry, I've completely dried up down there. Yeah. I come on the telly and go, here is the solution to your dried up lady bits. All the men go, ooh, I say, I'm going to go out and buy a bumper box. Come home, it's the old lady's birthday, look what I've got you. Ooh, big tube of Vagisan, lie down. I've got a treat for you.
Are there any special Black Friday offers?
I've got a box. I've got a box of handbag-sized ones, which I am going to
distribute. Handbag-sized ones? In what sense? Are they handbag-sized?
Tiny little tubes, small tubes of Vagisan.
For a minute, I thought you meant they were the size of handbag.
Tote bag-sized Vagisan.
That would be very slippery indeed.
Judith, earlier, Catherine, I don't know where you're going to stand on this, but you're very welcome to join in. Judith mentioned to me on the way in, she said that she was making her own Christmas crackers. And I am saying to you, Judith, that a small tube of Vagisan will fit into a toilet roll. And I know that for a fact because I've tried
it. That's genius, isn't it?
There you go.
That is genius.
But why did you try that?
Well, because I thought I'd be seeing Judith, and I know she makes her own Christmas crackers.
Okay, so you were thinking crackers. You weren't just...
And I thought, does a small tube of Vagisan fit inside a toilet
and
roll?
And it does, does it?
Yes, it does.
But it is, if what you are saying about men is true, that would be a unisex gift to put in a cracker, really, wouldn't it?
It's a gift for the family. Yeah,
right.
And it's edible. If your turkey's a bit dry...
I tell you, it's all round Judith for Christmas lunch, isn't it?
Now, we're on to the... We have moved beautifully, segued into food.
Extraordinary, that.
You are the restaurant critic, or one of the restaurant crickets.
Crickets.
Sorry, critic.
Critic.
I choke over the word critic, because some of them have been quite horrible to me in the past. So, I might say cricket.
Include me out.
No, you're all right, because you're food, and I'm not in that business. For the Daily Telegraph. Now, because you're the food critic of the Daily Telegraph, does that mean you go to a certain type of Telegraph-esque establishment?
You see, I thought that is probably what I'd do. And then I sat down and thought, what is a Telegraph-esque establishment? And in fact, they just sort of said, well, just go to places that people might want to go to, which is a fairly broad brief, really.
Yeah.
So there was no sense of me having to kind of nail any
Only go
brief.
To places where men wear pink trousers.
No. Because that would severely limit
my... Only go in gastropubs that have got black Labradors outside.
There are a few of those, but I don't live in London, so I go to those places anyway. And if there are men with red trousers there, then... You know,
they're allowed to eat.
They are allowed to eat.
So, are they?
I think perhaps they shouldn't be. But anyway,
what are we looking for in what are you looking for when you're restaurant critiquing?
Absolutely nothing. For me, restaurant critiquing is sort of 40% to 50% food. And the rest of it is a combination of other things like what does it look like, what does it feel like, where is it, who else is there, what's the service like, you know. It may even be less than 50% food.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, a super mega foodie. Like I'm not like some of my critic friends who literally you can show them a flashcard of some weird ingredient and they'll know exactly A, where it came from, B, what to do with it. And, you know, I'm not. I sort of know what I know and I like what I like, but more than that. And I was a restaurant critic briefly on The Observer way back before somebody called Jay Rayner got that job. What is he doing now?
Oh, Jay Rayner's a boy.
He's a boy.
He lives near me. He's all right.
He's all right. No, I know him very well. Yeah. Very well. You know, I had a bit of form back in the day, but and I'd done stuff for the Observer Food Monthly when I was there, and I've, you know, always been interested in food, but without having that kind of overarching knowledge that some of my.
How often a week do you have to go out?
Well, I have a job share. It's all very modern. Yeah. So I share mine with Keith Miller, who writes it on my off week, and. Yeah, so fortnightly. So I'm going out really on a fortnightly basis, but sometimes I lump them all together. I'm very picky about all. Well, I'm not very picky. I'll turn up with an open mind.
Yeah,
but if it goes
wrong,
we all
do. We're middle-aged women, you see. We try to turn up with an open mind. How long does it take to go? I don't like that.
Mind is open for it's like a door that's a little bit ajar. Yeah. You know, when the first thing kind of goes wrong or doesn't meet up.
It's cumulative, isn't it, Ben?
It's cumulative, yes, and you can start off really wanting to like somewhere. And I have a thing of, if it's already been reviewed, I won't read the review. I turn up, you know, it's my experience. I don't want to assimilate other people's experiences. So, I'm very open to it, really.
Do you go incognito?
Yeah, but I'm not, you know, I'm not Jay Rayner. I'm not Giles Corran. I'm not Marina. You know, I don't have to...
Disguise yourself. You don't
but
have to wear a hat.
But some people must know who you are and what you're
I
doing.
I don't know. I've not had it, really, in the context of food. I mean, I used to get it in the grumpy era a bit. You know, you'd be queuing up in the supermarket and somebody would tap you on the shoulder and say, oh, and doing that thing where they think they know you. They think they saw you at Susan's last week at the, you know, Tupperware party or whatever. And they're chatting and then they suddenly do that thing of going, oh, my gosh. I don't know you after all. Fine.
So, good meals, bad meals. What have been your highlights?
Can
anything memorable?
No, I'm 54. I can't remember a bloody
thing.
I can remember everything I've eaten. Some of it's...
The thing about food is it's about context, isn't it? So some of the greatest...
Not really.
Well, if you're in a restaurant, it's who you're with, what's the... vibe, what's the atmosphere, why are you there, la la la. Now obviously if you're reviewing somewhere, it's a slightly fake version of that because you've sort of booked it in order to review it. It's not like you're going off on a big adventure and sort of. So I like to have my expectations confounded. I like to go expecting one thing and then get something that sort of blows me away.
Do you ever suffer from menu masochism?
Define?
Oh, I suffer from it terribly. I'm a martyr to menu masochism. I look at the menu and I think, oh, that sounds nice. Oh, now look at that. I've not had that before. That looks gorgeous. I like the sound of that. And then I go, oh, look, something that I don't really like, but it's probably quite good for me. And it's got no cream sauce. And it's lemon sole with some, you know, wilted spinach. And
my partner is that person.
I disappoint myself so often.
He orders something he feels that he ought to like.
Yes.
What is that about? I just order the stuff I know that I'm most likely to love, which is also, of course, the way that you can critique it. If it's something that you're expecting to love or there's an ingredient or whatever that you're passionate about and it's wrong and bad, then that does give you quite a lot of room for manoeuvre, critically speaking.
But the thing is, right, in some respects, your partner and I, who have menu masochism, we should be the menu critics because we are the ones choosing the horrible food that might confound our expectations. My partner, on the other hand, has no menu masochism whatsoever. He orders exactly what he likes, which is exactly the same every time we go out.
Ah, well,
Time. Oh, look, the steak on the... What's Jeff going to have? I wonder whether Jeff's going to have a steak. Is he going to have a steak? Is he going to have it well done with chips? Of course he's going to have it well done with chips. He never has anything different, which is why I'm there going, oh, I'll have the charred
steak. You feel that you're counterbalancing his...
Yeah.
So at Christmas, does he have steak and chips?
No, he has to
He steps out of his comfort zone as far as a turkey.
If he could, he would. But we're at my sister's and she won't.
She's the boss of it.
She's the boss of everything.
I want to ask you about being a food critic.
Yes.
And ask you whether it means that you don't like a Nando's anymore. Does it mean that you can't do
I'm very,
Nando's?
Very cheap. You know, I'll eat anything, to be honest. I wouldn't be one of those food critics who was sort of, no, unless Michel Roux. I don't know why I've affected a French accent there to mention Michel Roux. But anyway, I won't eat it unless Michel has cooked it personally. You know, no, I'll go anywhere. I'm fine with fast food, slow food.
Do you cook?
Yes. Well, I say yes. No.
Sometimes we lie.
Time. No, I can cook and I enjoy cooking and I wish I had a bit more time to do it. Is sort of where I'm at. I do a mean roast. I can do you a Christmas
really
dinner
cooking,
from sort of blindfolded.
Is that cooking?
With all the with all the stuff.
Oh,
no, well, proper gravy. You know, made from scratch.
But you're not a gravy granule person.
No, I make my own gravy. I'm proud of my gravy skills, passed on by my mother.
You've got northern roots, haven't you?
I don't.
Don't you?
No.
Come over a bit northern.
Do
route.
I?
Where's it from then? This commonness. This ability to make gravy and roll your sleeves up.
Australian. Both my parents are Australian.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see them as gravy makers. Well, where do they get that from then?
Convicts.
No. So Mike, so hilarious you should say that. My mother, 8th generation Australian. We chose to go.
Was she a pound pommy?
No. She went there in 1803, not obviously herself. Yeah. No, but she's very, you know, very quick. So that's what the posh Australians do, is they say, no, we chose to go.
Are we all still watching telly about food, or have we got TV fatigue?
I'm still watching. We got home from the theatre last night. I'd had enough culture. It was very good. I really, really enjoyed this play. It's on at the West End. I don't know how long it'll be at the Duke of York's. I mean, it's this new Tennessee Williams thing with this... I sometimes can spot a star, and there's this girl.
Oh God, what's her name?
What, you can spot a star and you can't remember her name? Oh, sorry, that's a bit of a non-starter.
But she could pick her
Patsy
out of a police
Ferrin.
Lineup.
Okay, her name, listen to this name. Her name is Patsy Ferrin, and she's in her late 20s, I would say, maybe even mid-20s, and she's got comedy bones. And I'm just putting it there, leaving it there. And
very
I'm
good. Away.
So we saw this play. Tennessee Williams, and she's the star. And we got home, you know, you get home about, it was about 10:30.
Go straight to the fridge.
Cheese and crackers. And Jeff said to me, I enjoyed my Pret sandwich earlier. There were walnuts in the pickle.
Did he?
Yeah, he was very impressed by
that. You have a very racy relationship, don't you?
And then I said, get down on your hands and knees, I'm going to ride you around the city. And then we watched an episode of MasterChef.
My God, you live, don't you? You live.
I'm impressed there's no steak involved in this anecdote.
He was steak-free. He was weak.
Did you watch the whole of the episode of MasterChef?
It's only about half an hour, isn't it?
Just a random episode. Like you just
No, it was the earlier on that night.
Right.
Yes.
Are you into all of that? All of the bake-off and bake-off spin-offs? I've slightly had it with it.
I'm kind of slightly with you. I feel like I've watched Nigella licking her fingers.
Yeah. Do you TV critic as well?
No, not anymore. I did for 10 years.
Yeah.
Best job ever.
I loved your comment.
You're very sweet.
Oh, I mean, you write so brilliantly,
Catherine.
You're
very sweet.
You really do.
Yeah.
And,
I did love it.
I mean, it was exactly the first place I'd go on a Sunday, you know, and I do miss it, actually.
I'm sure that's how I ended up being a grumpy old woman, though, isn't it?
Yes, totally. Yes, totally.
So what about plans for the future? What about more novels, or do you have to have...
So I wrote 2 novels in this decade, and that was kind of interesting.
God, it's hard work, isn't
it? God, it's hard work. You should know. You're a brilliant novelist.
I've got one on the go at the moment.
Have you?
Oh, it's so hard. It's really... It's harder than cooking a roast lunch.
Have you been tempted, Judith?
You're in the middle of a novel, mate.
Yes, I am.
Well, how are you finding it?
Well, very, very, very hard work. I can only do about an hour and a half at a time, and then I have to go and treat myself to something, you know, manual. Do you know what I mean? Or something in the fridge.
To get out of the weirdness.
It's really, really hard.
Yeah. I mean, you're an absolutely brilliant novelist. Mm. I'm going to be totally serious here because, you know, I'm not going to try and get a laugh out of this. It may end up in laughter, but I want to be really serious. You're a proper brilliant novelist. But the marketing of you is really difficult because everyone goes, oh, Jenny, that's going to be funny.
That's going to be funny.
And, of course, you know, some of it is because you're very funny. But actually, the stuff you write about is not that funny.
I have had people say I have ruined their holiday.
Well, you know, we're going to take something lighter on holiday and then it's a real journey, you know. So you're actually a sort of literary novelist wrapped up in a comedy
carapace.
You know, carapace, good word. And I think, you know, you'd almost be better off doing it under a different name.
Yeah, but then nobody would publish it. I wouldn't, you know, I'd get probably £4,500 and it'd take me a year to write.
Exactly.
And so then I just can't afford to do it. I'd have to get a paper round as well. I already, you know, it already doesn't
Would that there
make...
were papers to take on your round? Anyway.
I'm going to deliver podcasts. That's my new thing. To everyone's... Do you know what? We're going to wrap up now because I have just hit on the great idea, which is delivering podcasts door-to-door on sticks, on USB sticks.
Sticks? I thought for a minute you were... I went down the lolly stick.
A USB stick and people will subscribe. And I'm going to go around on a bike and have a big sack full of podcasts on USB sticks and sell them door-to-door. Okay,
like brushes.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's not a bad idea.
You two can join
Make
in.
Make sure you take your little pass with you to prove that
have it on a lanyard. Yeah.
Can we wear shorts like postmen do?
You can, I'm not.
I think.
Listen, we've had a very jolly time. Catherine Blesh, it's been a pleasure as ever to see you. Judith, lovely to see you again. I've enjoyed myself. Anyway, this is... Older and Wider. That's what we decided to call this one, isn't it?
It is, I think, yes.
And we're going to play the theme tune again, because I like it.
You like it.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, Catherine.
Thank you for coming.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.